Grace to you and peace from the one who is and was and always shall be. Amen. His name was George. I never met him, but I saw him almost every weekend. He lived on his boat at the Alloy Harbor, and it was a huge, beautiful, at one time, vessel. 55 feet long, Harrishoff designed, wooden hull, sleek lines. And every weekend, this old man, thin and bent and arthritic, would sit on a float on one of those bathroom chairs that all of us are destined to go have at some point. So there was just this orange float, and he would sit on that float, and he would start at the bow, and over the course of the year, he would patch holes, places where the hull had rotted from old age and neglect. And he would start at the bow, and he would carefully take out the old wood, and he would put new wood in, and he would patch it over and paint it, and he'd fix a seam there and a seam there, and he would go around day after day, week after week. And when he got around to the bow on the other side, he would start again. Because in the time that it took him to get around the round to the other side of the boat, it had already begun to rot again where he had once started. I never met him, but he was there every weekend, toiling and toiling, trying to save this beautiful old craft that he called home. One day we did not see him anymore. And the boat began to go lower and lower and lower in the water. And I remember walking by and saying to Jeannie, you know, I think she's sinking. One of those really obvious things that you say that you think of later going, no kidding. And we never saw the old man again. I kept thinking, why can't we have a miracle for this old man? Why couldn't some good Samaritan come and fix his boat and make it the perfect place for him to live out his days? Because he truly and clearly loved that old ship. And now it sits dirty and broken, with what we call a diaper around the outside of the boat to catch the oil and the gas. And we never saw the old man again. His legacy of patching and fixing and hope and dreams, I kept thinking of this old man sitting on this float, thinking to himself, one more patch and I can go to Tahiti. One more little bit of fixing, one new sail, one little bit of this, and somehow my dreams will come to pass. But we never saw him again. Every time I read this story about the widow of Nain and the story about the widow's son, I'm drawn back to that old man. So often when we read these texts about miracles, we almost expect that they will surely happen for all of us. That our hurts and anxieties, our dying children and dying husbands will somehow miraculously be healed, or that our dreams that have been dashed, our hopes that have come never to fruit, that somehow God will send a prophet with oil and meal to save our lives. hard thing about these texts is that there is no way to avoid the question. If God saves the son of the widow of Nain, God saves that woman's child that Elijah puts his body over, why cannot God save my friend, my relative, myself? For most of us, our lives are a little bit more like my old man. We're just floating around, putting in the patches, caulking up the seams. That is what life is like for much of the world, barely staying afloat, barely keeping ahead of the termites. And there does not seem to be a miracle in place. How will we hear these stories? That story in 1 Kings has some background that's really important to the story. Why does God send Elijah there? Why does God send the prophet to that place? Well, the kings were misbehaving. And Ahab and Jezebel had built a temple for Baal. And while there, when they had built this temple, they went to dedicate the temple. And part of what they did was to practice child sacrifice. And so God sends the prophet. Baal, who is the god of the thunderstorm, is being worshipped. And so what does God send? A drought. God sends a drought, and Elijah then is sent to Sidon, where Jezebel is from, and he comes to bring and carry God's word. And you know the story. It was a couple of weeks ago. Elijah shows up. He's hungry. The widow is on her last meal. And God sends the prophet to save both himself and the widow and her son. And a cruel twist of fate, having done this wonderful thing and experienced God's deep and abiding grace, the son dies. No positivity thinking here. No power of positive thinking. No surety of the grace of God. Just a dead son. Real life. The widow saves Elijah, and Elijah saves the widow. And then in the end, God's grace pours out. The weeping is just for the nighttime. But in the morning, God's grace pours out. And the son is saved in Sidon. Maybe it's a symbol for how God will save the children in the place where the children are being killed. But the power of the story is that God sends Elijah with a word of hope. When Jesus goes to Nain, when he encounters the widow there, what will he experience? This widow whose son has died, her only soul support, the only place in which she is connected to the community, dies. And in the story, Jesus brings him again to life, but he restores not just the son, but also the widow. It may be that we don't experience those incredible miracles, those complete turnarounds, especially when we need them most. An old man dies and a baby is born. It took a while. But an old man dies and a baby is born. A child is healed and a child dies. And the constant in the midst of it is always God's promise and God's community. That's the key. In Elijah, God begins to reform community around this child. In the story of the widow of Nain, the woman is restored to her own, not just to her fortunes, but also to family and to those who surround her. And in the same way, in the midst of our tragedy, our floating around the boat trying to patch the holes before we sink, we also are surrounded by this community of Christ. We are the Elijahs who lay their bodies over dying children and bring them life. You see, you're not just receiving the miracle itself for all of your needs, but you become the miracle in Christ. The community which surrounds those most in need, those who are lonely, those who are broken, those in need of help. That's the real miracle, I think, is that, frankly, people actually care. It turned out that the old man had not, as I had suspected, died on his boat. I sort of thought that one day he had just forgotten to get up, and that the poles and the seams had opened up and finally he had died. It turned out, in fact, that he had fallen in love. At 80-something years old, he had met a woman and decided that was better than a boat. I agree. But from his mourning came new joy. He didn't live for long, but he got off his boat and he fell in love, and then he died. And that's the miracle, that he was restored into the wholeness of mercy in love. Stories like that are all around us, if only we look to see. Opportunities to heal and to love and to restore and to patch up lives abound everywhere we look, if only we open our eyes and our hearts to be Elijah, to be Christ for our neighbor. Amen.